little bit in the Bible. Brother Samuel, you started that, correct? Okay. We're going to talk about transgenderism in the Bible a little bit and give you an idea of what the Bible, because it give you the exact position of God on transgenders. You say, why is this even important? You know, I mean, do we really have to talk about this? You know, do we really have to deal with this? Well, let me tell you something. It's going to deal with you whether you want to or not. Do you understand that? It's coming to a bathroom near you whether you like it or not. And I hate it, but it's coming anyway. It is being shoved in your face. It is going to be talked about. It is going to be deliberated upon. It is going to be debated about. It's coming. It's going to be rammed through. That's right. It's going to be right in your face, showed to you. Hey, this is the way you're going to accept this. Your children, and we're going to talk. This is a series, but this is only one message. Just a springboard first message to get started. Okay? Yeah.
I could add just a little bit to that.
Sure.
I clean bathrooms at Tim's. I was right in there cleaning bathrooms. And women had walked in. The doors are
right
where they go, but just the fact that I'm in there,
it doesn't bother them. See, that's that spirit of androgyny, and we're going to talk about that, but not today, really. We're just going to touch on that, but I'm going to preach kind of a series on that. This series is going to be called The Rise of Androgyny, okay? The Rise of Androgyny is what the series is going to be called. We're going to deal with transgenders and deal with that situation. You know, it just doesn't seem like that could be that major. Well, I mean, right now public schools are, well, I don't want to get too far deep in that because we're going to talk about the culture and everything sometime soon. But public schools are forcing kids today, well, you got to accept this. I mean, all one bathroom. They can all go to the same bathroom. They can all, I mean, girls can go in there. Guys can go in there. It doesn't matter. Well, why? Well, I'll probably preach a separate message to you that really deals with this on this issue, but it's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what it is. And I'm going to touch on that today, but then I'm going to show you on another day what's happening right now in our world, how it's being pushed. But it has always been the goal of Satan. It's the goal of the occult, the cults. It's the androgynous. You see it with the Statue of Liberty? That is an androgynous being right there in front of your face. That's what it is right there. So when you sing your Statue of Liberty song in New York Harbor, stands a lady. Maybe, not really. Because she's not a lady, okay? She's an it. All right? That's what she is. And don't worry, my wife sang that song, and I've picked on her before about that. But there's nothing good about that Statue of Liberty. That is an androgynous being. And by the way, it's quite spooky, too, all right? It's absolutely spooky to look at. If you look at that thing for what it really is and stand there, it is absolutely spooky to see. There's nothing about it that stands for the liberty that you and I want. See, there's Christian liberty and there's Antichrist liberty. But that's another message. I don't have time to go down that road, but God just gave it to me, so I'll preach that sometime too, because there's a difference in Christian liberty and Antichrist liberty. There's a difference. But anyway, we'll talk about that at another day. But anyway, I just want you to understand why, as we kind of look at the background of this and get it, why do we have to do this? Well, it's coming to us no matter what. And churches think that if they don't talk about it, then it won't be a reality. If we just don't deal with it, we don't. Or you could take the other side of it, and you could be like the churches downtown in Minneapolis that I posted on my Facebook page yesterday. Did you see that picture of that church down there? I think you've seen it. Did you see that picture? There's a picture that I post on there of that church that says Pride Sunday.
Man, they just took the fundies to a new level with their special Sunday services, man. They just kicked it up a notch from what the fundamental Baptists do. And they said, hey, if you can have hot dog Sunday and ice cream Sunday and every other Sunday in the world and human hot dog Sunday, guess what? We're going to have Pride Sunday. So come to church and show your gay pride. See, it's coming whether you like it or not. And it needs to be preached against. It needs to be revealed for what it is in the scriptures. And let me just tell you, all that it is a satanic manipulation of the devil. That's all it is. See, all Satan does is just repackage evil. That's what he does best. He just repackages it into something else, calls it something else, puts a nice little title to it, and people just fall for it. What is it? It's the same thing that he offered Eve. It's not really any different. What did he tell Eve? Oh, you don't need to follow that order. Come on, Eve. You'll be as gods. And you're going to lead your husband in that way. You know, if you take this fruit, you're going to be as gods. Do what I did, Eve. Come out of that order. Come out of that order, Eve, and rebel against God. Oh, he didn't say that. No, the devil never says anything like that. Most people think he's going to come with a pitchfork and a tail, and he's going to come and he's going to be like, worship Satan. Well, he's not as dumb as people who believe that, okay? He just isn't. I know, that's probably too blunt. But if you read the scriptures, it's very clear who Satan is. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this movement of transgenderism is not a new one. Today it's popular and it's growing in popularity in America. It's downright, America is a downright immoral and wicked nation. I like what Brother Paul says. He says it's a morally bankrupt nation. Very true statement. Sin is rampant in the streets. Whoredom is rampant in the streets. The land is given over to whoredom. Yesterday, I'm standing up there and I'm watching and we're preaching at the outside of this Pride event. And I look over and here's this skinny little boy, 19 years old, in a pair of Blue's Clues like underoos, and he's bouncing like Tigger down the way, skipping and saying, "Only God can judge me." He looks right up at me and says, "I said, yes, you're right. And he sent me to judge you. And you better repent. And put some clothes on." Now, some of our critics would rather that you got to show love. This doesn't accomplish anything. Yeah, because the way you've been doing it has really worked. That's why they're out of the closet and you're in it. And the church isn't charging anything. They're retreating. If you can't beat them, join them. And that's what they're doing. That's exactly what's happening. And you watch as this spirit of Antichrist rises, and you see this spirit of androgyny rise. You are going to watch all of these apostates join together and welcome them with open arms. And I'll prove it. I'm going to prove it to you right here. Give me a little bit. All right, what does that mean? Transgender. It means of relating to or designating a person whose identity does not conform unambiguously to the conventional notions of male or female gender roles, but combines or moves between these. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that well, I don't accept you that I have to be, that I was made a boy, so I have to stay a boy. I don't accept that I was made a girl, so I have to be a girl. I don't have to accept that.
Really? God says you do have to accept it. God says that's the way he made you and you do have to accept it. It's a non-identification with or non-presentation as the sex of a person was assigned at birth. Who they are. God made you. What did he say? What did he say? Well, does the Bible even talk about transgenderism? Absolutely, it does. But it doesn't use those words. It doesn't have to. Those words have to be compared to Scripture. Scripture is the foundation of all our beliefs. I don't care what new thing they try to call it. I don't care what language changes, right, Brother Paul? That doesn't matter. I don't care what updated words people use. God laid the principles out in Scripture. So let's look first with the beginning. What does God say about transgenderism? What does he say? Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. How you doing, Brother Roy? Nothing like walking into a message like this. You missed the warm-up, so. That's true. It's a lot better than walking out of it. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. See that? Now, you would almost believe that God is making things very simple. Yeah, he is. He said, I made them male and female. That's it. You don't get to be who you want to be. You don't get to change who you are. You don't get to change the DNA. You don't get to change what God made you. You don't get to do that. And God blessed them. So God laid an order down and he blessed them. He blessed the order that he laid down. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Do you see how this transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, whatever you want to call it, do you see how all of it, its goal and design is to rebel against the order of God? Why do you think that most transgenders and most sodomites, and why do you think most of them are for and pro-abortion? Because they hate God's order. They rebel against the commands of God. It is absolute rebellion to God's commands. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. No, they can't do that. Want to know why they want your little boy to dress up in a pageant as a girl? By the way, I've seen that. Want to know why they want to do that? Because nobody is born homosexual. Right. They're recruited. Right. Do you understand that? You were born with natural affection. You're born with it. That's why it's called natural. It's just normal. You are recruited into that lifestyle. And when they can start with boys and children, that's their goal. That's why they want in the schools. That's why they want it to, that's why they want girls to be able to dress up or boys to be able to dress up as a girl and go into a school pageant and go change in the boy, in the girl's locker room and everything. That's why they want to do that. Because they recruit. You're not born that way. It's a great slogan from the devil, but you're not born that way. God
God said he blessed that order. He said, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Said he blessed it. By the way, there's a curse when that's not kept. Because there's a blessing for it, and if you're against it, that's cursed. You understand? That's just logic. That just makes sense. Can you think of a group besides the lesbian homosexual community, the sodomite community, the transgender community that is more cursed? You really think that those people yesterday were happy? Not at all. They're not happy. They're miserable. And they know it. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. The way God made him, the generations. Right? In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Why do you think they show the androgynous Christ today in all the pictures? Like I talked about that queer-looking fake antichrist, the long-haired hippie Jesus, the effeminate one. Why do you think they do that? Because they're showing you a God. And the God they are showing you is the androgynous God. They are showing you the Antichrist. And we'll develop that another day. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. God's, you say, this is too simple. Yeah, I know it is, but this is how you talk to people, very simply. But what about? God said this. This is what God said. This is God's order. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4, and he answered and said to them, have you not read? This is a good one to read to them, by the way. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that which was that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? You don't get it? Haven't you read that in the beginning God made a male and female? Haven't you read that? What are you confused about? Confusion, the Bible says. We are living in a time of absolute confusion. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Mark chapter 10, verse number 6. What is this? Rebellion to God's order. God didn't make a mistake making you a man or a woman. It wasn't a mistake. You were not made wrong. You were born either a male or a female, and you are not allowed to change God's order to suit your wicked, sinful heart. That's why we shouldn't use labels as tomboy. Why? Because it plays into a spirit, that's why. Oh, this girl's a tomboy. Not wise. No, she's a girl. She may climb some trees and do some things, but she's a girl. Girls climb trees. Last time I checked, it wasn't a sexual orientation thing to climb a tree. Right? Girls have worked a garden, mowed a lawn, done a lot of things. That doesn't mean they're tomboys. Amen. Foolish speech. Foolish. It brings confusion. There's no such thing as a tomboy. They're either male or female, but they're not both. And they're not merging of, it's not merging of the two together, which is Satan's design. Unisex, make them all one. Everybody's the same. We can be, you can't be distinct. Everybody must be the same in the collective. Everybody must be the same. I'm telling you, this is just nothing but a trap of the devil. It's just something but a trick. And it's working. By the way, that's why God designs a male and female. That's why you train them appropriately. You train boys to be men and girls to be ladies. You don't raise them the same way. They're not the same. They're different. Whatever you nurture in them, that's what's going to grow. Amen. If you treat a boy like a lady, well, he'll turn out to be a lady. Acting like one anyway, he won't be one. But he'll act what the Bible calls a feminine. We'll get to that. You teach the men to be providers and the ladies to be helpmates for their husbands. You teach them. If they're trained right. The place that God has put them in is how they're to live. It's how they're to be trained. That's your responsibility. Transgenders are rebellious to the way God made them. They're denying the order that God has placed them in. And this is nothing more than the rise of androgyny. Number two, God says it's an abomination. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5. God says it's an abomination. God says transgenderism, cross-dressing of the sword is nothing more than an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse number 5. The women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination of the Lord thy God. Here's what God is stating here very clearly. And I know this has been talked about ladies wearing pants and everything else like that. And I'm not saying that's not accurate either. What I'm simply saying to you is that what the Bible is dealing with here, because he's dealing with it at the same time as homosexuality and everything else. He is saying what? He is saying that that is an abomination for a man to dress as a woman and a woman to dress as a man. It is a clear abomination to God. Somebody said, well, what about eating pork? Right, Brother Paul? You got that yesterday. What about sowing your seeds in the field with this? And I said, what about the fact you're a dirty fornicator? What about that fact? What about the fact that you're trying to get off on something else and you want to talk about sin? Absolutely. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on women's garments, for all that do are an abomination of the Lord thy God. It's an abomination, that's what it says. Plain and simple. It's an abomination to God. Here is the first instance we see that God is commanding the law not to wear that which pertaineth to a woman for a man. Yesterday at that sodomite rally, I saw the scariest thing I've almost ever seen in my life. I saw Grandpa, was he on a bicycle? Yeah. I saw Grandpa with a Santa Claus beard in a miniskirt riding on a bicycle, waving a rainbow flag and saying there is no God. And that right there had to be the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. I thought seeing a 65-year-old sodomite skip down the road when Russ was preaching, when we first started preaching, I thought that was strange. There wasn't nothing stranger than that Grandpa with that miniskirt on that bicycle with that flag, preaching at us when he went by. What'd you say to him? You said something to him when he was standing next to you. I don't think he was encouraged, brother. I don't think he was encouraged. I think he knew exactly what you were doing. Yeah, I think he knew exactly, you were using sarcasm. I think he knew exactly what you were doing. Right. Just like Brother Davis when he was out there and that guy walked up and was, can I take a, you know, he was waving his flag, and then David looks at him and goes, you want to help me put my sign up? Guy just took off. He's like, no, I'm not going to help you put your sign up. He's like, well, get out of here. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, it's a mess. It's sad. But you have this guy, right? What do you have, though? You have an absolute abomination. That's what we told them. These things are abominations unto God. These things are wicked unto God, and God hates them. God doesn't hate anything. This doesn't work.
Well, you're over here talking. Something must work.
That sign doesn't work.
Why are you over here talking about it then? Yeah, I mean, those things don't work. It's a rebellion to God's orders, all it is.
What does an abomination mean? It means extreme hatred and detestation. The object of detestation, a common signification in Scripture, the way of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord. What is God saying? I hate it. I abhor it. I hate it. Why? Because I made them male and female.
And all that do anything differently are an abomination unto God. Women should dress like women and men should dress like men.
Why do you think God was telling them that? He said, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. God said, listen, all of them are defiled. Why? What is he saying? He's saying there were transgenders and transvestites and he said they were in the land. That's what he was saying. How do you know that? Because he said the land vomited them out. He goes, I'm tired of it. I've watched them do this and I'm tired of it. See, there's something you ought to study out sometime. You ought to study out the Canaanites. You ought to study out Canaan. You ought to study out the Canaanites. And do you realize that these people that were cursed went over to the land of Israel, went over to that land of Palestine, Israel, whatever you call it, and they filled the land with their wickedness because they knew that that land was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they filled it with wickedness. That's what they did. That was Satan's plan. Oh, fine, I'm going to fill the whole land with it then. Why? Because he's the God of this world, that's why. So God said in Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Right. He loved them, so he killed them.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? No, he's angry with the wicked every day. And he destroyed them for their wickedness. It's not God's plan. It's an abomination. That's why we believe in ladies dressing feminine, men dressing masculine. That's why we believe in following that order. It's pretty simple. Well, look what happens when you don't draw the line sharp enough. Look how it is today in the land. Look how it is today in churches. Look how it is today in America. Who can speak with boldness because they don't follow the Scriptures? Number three, God says in their wickedness they will give a boy for a harlot. Joel chapter 3 and verse number 3, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. What does that mean exactly? It means they use that little boy like a lady. That's what it means, pretty much. In a fornicating, wicked manner. It was a common custom among the heathens and in Rome. All over the Mediterranean, it was a common custom for them to turn a boy into that. Turn a boy effeminate. Turn a boy into that and use them for that. By the way, it's a common custom among elitists today to do the same thing. Here! Yeah, that's right. Bohemian Grove, the leaders of America. It's an elitist thing. Oh, no, come on. Oh, you never heard of Roman Catholic altar boys? Ever heard of those?
That's reality.
It's too real, preacher. It's too real. Go back to preaching generalities. Go back to preaching what's easy. Just be more general. Don't talk about the priest with a vodka bottle at a camp chasing around a kid in his underwear. Yeah, your best friend. It's an abomination. It is wickedness to God. And that's exactly what they do. And you have the man-boy love people today in America that parade in the streets and they want to do the exact same thing now. They want that legal here now. They are pushing pedophilia as nothing more than homosexuality. It's just a choice, is all this. It's just a choice. Go ahead, church. Just cover your head. Stick your head in the sand. Act like it's not happening. Don't preach against it. Don't talk about it. I'm uncomfortable. So am I. With their behavior. By the way, Muslims do the same thing. Don't ever kid yourself and think that Muslims aren't for sodomy. Don't fool yourself. Not at all. Same spirit, same androgynous spirit, same thing. It's there. Number four, the Apostle Paul dealt with the effeminate. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? God loves everybody. That's why he's good. That's why you would take your son and throw him in hell, right? Because you love him. Everybody's God's child. Well, there's a lot of Bible that disagrees with that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Be not deceived. What's this saying? It's saying, you know, being saved is real. It's a real thing. It's not a fake thing. It's a real thing. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. That covers all wickedness, all lewdness. All misconduct, all fleshly, wicked activity. All of it. Neither that covers pornography. It's the whole thing. It covers all of it. Sorry, God's law doesn't give a little bit of wiggle room to pornography. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now that's talking about sodomy. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. What does this also prove? It also proves that a sodomite and a transgender can be saved. Amen. Wait a minute. Are you saying that there were effeminate men in Corinth? Yeah, he just said it. I didn't say it. Paul said it. He said, such as were some of you. Listen, this whole transgender thing, transvestite thing, this whole homosexuality, all this, it's not new. It's not new, okay? None of it is new. It was just in America, the churches were so strong and preached so strong for hundreds of years, and we pushed it off through the Spirit of God. It was pushed away from us. It was kept away from us. But now they've given into that spirit, and it's coming here, and it's full. And there's the rise of androgyny. And it's not going anywhere. And such as were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. And that's why we went and preached yesterday. To people that people say, oh, they're hopeless. They'll never get saved. They can never get saved. But Paul said, such as were some of you. So when you're ready to give up on God, I'm going to go preach to him anyway.
Amen.
Well, you're going to sit in your corner and allow everybody to go to hell because you've deemed it in your mind that homosexuals can't be saved. Well, that's not what he said here. Obviously, there were some Corinthians that were not of the reprobate mind. Right? Are you reading the same Bible I am? There's some that, right, they weren't of a reprobate mind. How do you know that? Because Paul just said, he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. He just said it. He said effeminate. He said nor abusers of themselves with mankind. He just said it. I mean, he just said it. Right there. He said, you were like that, but you're not now. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? Well, I wonder how some of these preachers miss that. What does that mean, that effeminate? It means qualities of the female sex, soft or delicate to an unmanly degree, tender, womanish. The king, by his voluptuous life and mean marriage, became effeminate and less sensible of honor. I don't know what king that's talking about. That's just the example that Webster gave. Womanish, weak, resembling the practice or qualities of the sex as an effeminate peace, an effeminate life. Woman-like, tender, in a sense not reproachful. To make womanish, to unman, to weaken as to effeminate children. To grow womanish or weak, to melt into weakness. So we need some more feminine ladies. We need some masculine guys.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We got too many guys running around like women and women running around like men. And then we wonder why the transgenders are rising in power. Well, maybe if the church got busy and got teaching and training the way they're supposed to, maybe we'd be a better example of the world too. How about that? Paul is saying very clearly here that the transgender will not enter the kingdom of God. No. They're going to die and go to hell. That's exactly what's going to happen to them. They're going to die and go to hell. They must repent of it. There is a desire today, and we'll talk about this later, to merge these sexes together to make no difference between the two. So you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. Exactly. And yesterday, I mean, it was pretty close. I mean, I was dealing with one person. I say person because I don't know what it was. But I said to her something I thought was a her. I said, well, you're talking like a trash can. You're not talking like a lady. I'm old enough to be your mother. I said, my mom don't talk like a trash can, okay? I couldn't even have my kids around you. That's what I said to her. I was very bold about it. Well, she's going to be bold to do what she's going to do. Why can't we be bold with the Word of God and tell the truth? Filthy speaking and nobody says anything to them. So I said that to her. I said, you're talking like a trash can, lady. She goes, I never said I was a lady. I guess I shouldn't have accused you of being one. I mean, I think it was a female, but her point was, I never said I was a lady. She kept telling me she loved me like 100 times. I love you.
I love you guys.
They're all about love.
They're all about love. It's called lust. The average sodomite has 500 partners. Verifiable statistics, by the way. And that's very conservative. Mm-hmm. It's very clear they won't be saved until they repent. But I could have done like some people would do and go try to run them through a prayer rail. Go, just believe Jesus. Just believe Jesus. Oh, we already do believe Jesus. We like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tried to say the Lord was running around with 12 men in the desert. Then somebody said, well, Jesus, one lady tried to say to me, see, these people don't have a clue, but they're mixed up into their sin and somebody needs to correct them. I told her that she got mad at me because I told her Muhammad was a pedophile. What? So he's a pedophile. She asked me about the Quran and I said, well, it was written by a pedophile. I'm not going to lie about it. She said, why do you say that? I said, he had a 9-year-old wife. Verifiable. He had a whole list of wives, just like Joseph Smith. Why? Same spirit. Get it? Get it? It's not hard. But we'll cross those bridges some other day. Next, the Antichrist will not follow the traditional order. Turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse number 37, please. That's a newborn cry, or that's Lee's stomach growling, one of the two. I don't know which. It's one of the two. I don't know which it is. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse number 35. Let's go there. Or 36. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. What is he saying here? The rise of the fourth kingdom is going to see the rise of androgyny. Well, where are you getting that at, preacher? Well, it's the rise of a lot of things in the fourth kingdom. But here's where we're getting that at. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. So a world leader is going to come. The rise of that fourth kingdom is going to come. All right, there's going to be a fourth, that the rise, and he's going to have world power. And he's going to speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. You see that? All of them will be in subjection to him. All these false gods, the devils, the rise of the fourth, he'll have power over the devils. Do you understand the deception that is coming? Well, what is he going to do? He's going to speak marvelous. Hey, listen, you don't have to follow that whole male, female, gender thing. You don't have to follow that. You don't have to worry about that homosexuality thing or anything like that. It's no big deal. It doesn't matter. Androgynous. Exactly. We've moved beyond those issues. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. He's not going to care about women. He's not going to have that lust for women or that desire. What is that saying then? Okay, now it's a man. Watch this. A man, a world leader that rises, a man that has no desire for women. So what does the Bible call that? The Bible says that is without natural affection.
That's what he calls it. The Bible says they're without natural affection. So what is this rise? The Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They'll be without natural affection. He's going to be the king of it. He's going to come, and you know what? It ain't going to matter what you do. You can be a sodomite. You can be heterosexual. It doesn't matter. He's going to be androgynous. We're going to talk about that later, what that exactly means, and why you see all these effeminate Jesuses and pictures and everything else. What we talked about a little bit about them preparing you for the Antichrist, but I want to tie it all into this transgender movement, because it's androgyny is all it is. It's that mixture of the two. It's that as is above, so is below, sons of God, daughters of men. It's the whole obsession of Satan. It all ties in. It's all ties in together. And it forms into one thing. The Bible says in Romans 1:31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. 2 Timothy 3:3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. It's not normal for a man not to want a lady. That's not normal. No. God made a man with that natural affection to want a wife. That's normal. That's the way it is. Romans 1:26, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections. And this is the turning that you're seeing here today. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Do you understand that the level of depravity when women leave that natural, not just the fact of wanting a man, but the fact of never wanting children, never wanting to be a part, and wanting to dress like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, act like a man, wanting to be a man. That is when you know the nation or the world is going towards the end. It's normal now. Lesbianism, transgenderism, all of it is norm. It's becoming normal now. There's something wrong with you because you have a problem with it. You're just believing this old book. This is just a book. The Hindus have a book. The Brahmins have a book. The Brahmin has a book. Everybody has a book. Exactly. That's here. That's now. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. It is a level of depravity that we have reached that is consuming the land. And God hates transgenderism. He hates it. He says it's an abomination for a woman to wear the clothing of a man and to dress like a man and to act like a man and to walk like a man and to try to be a man. It's an abomination to God. And unless you don't think it's real, I know kids in a Christian school right now, and I've seen pictures on Facebook of this young girl that is now a boy in her own mind. And grew up in a fundamental Baptist school. Had the Bible preached every week to her, every day, or however often their schedules are. Had chapel, been around that teaching, been around. She didn't grow up with evolution. She grew up with the creation. And then I seen a picture right next to her as she's dressed up like a boy, and her little brother is dressed up, he's a boy, but he's dressed up just like her, wearing the same clothes that she's wearing. And she says, look, I call him my mini-me. coming.
Right in your face. Coming to the churches.
This woman asked me yesterday at that Pride event. She said, "Are you saying that two lesbians couldn't kiss in your church?"
I'm like, "Yep, that's what I'm saying."
Amen.
With no hesitation.
That's right, they wouldn't be here. It's here. God hates transgenderism. God hates, he says it's an abomination. He says it's an abomination not to follow his order. It's abomination because he made them male and female. He says effeminate will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He says it very simply that if you, that's what effeminate is. That's what it means. It's a man that dresses like a woman. It's a man that takes on women, womanly features. It's a man that makes himself a woman. The Bible says the judgment on a nation is when a boy is given as a harlot. It means he is turned into a child, a girl, for wicked purposes. And that's your elite in America today. Not the Bush family, not Brother Bush. It's here. This is just a beginning message on it. The Bible stand against transgenderism, but we'll have more. We're going to deal with it in society and understand where it's at and where it's coming. We're going to understand, I'm going to teach you the spiritual aspect of it because it's the spirit that's behind it. It's not just people want, oh, they just want to sin. Well, yeah, they have a sin nature and they're wicked and they're depraved and they've given over to it. But it's being led by a spirit. There's a spirit behind androgyny. There is a spirit behind it. Androgyny is found in music. It's found in the music culture. It's found in rock and roll. It's found in movies. It's found in your Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. Right there. Right in good old New York Harbor. Don't sing the song, Brother Andrew. I see he's going to break out into it right there. I'm just kidding. Think about it. We'll start it today. We'll be talking about it in the weeks to come here, but it's a spirit of Antichrist. It's what it is, and it's being prepared now. It's preparing the world for merging together. And they're doing it through the merging together of the sexes to pull them together so there is no difference. That's why they want all the equality, they call it. That's the point. The point is so you don't see a difference between male and female. They don't want you to see the difference. They don't want you to treat ladies any differently. They don't want young men to learn to treat ladies right. They don't care about any of that. Just, you're all the same. Everybody's the same. Exactly. That's the other thing. It's demanding acceptance. They're not, they're going to demand acceptance and then they're going to demand participation. It's not just acceptance is not the end. Participation is the end. Acceptance is just another level. But the ultimate is participation. That's what it is. That's the final goal. Because you have to understand when the Antichrist appears, that this level of depravity has to be worked up so much. That's what it's all about. It's about his kingdom and you know, the devils and everything else that are rising. All of that. That's where the spirit of androgyny, that's why it's rising. That's why. But I want to show you the satanic conspiracy behind it. Not just, hey, there's just a bunch of homosexuals out there that want rights. Nah, you're missing it. They already have rights. They're humans. They have rights. They already have the same constitutional rights that you do. They haven't been denied any rights. They want special class of rights. They want a special class. They want you to bow down to them. They want churches to open their doors to them and accept them and bring them in. And many will. And most will. And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you why. All right, Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the truth of it. Help us to stand in these last days.
Lord, help us to love one another and be strong and pray for each other because we're needed in these days to come. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.